particularly out-of-town volunteer attorneys who are really important because the local attorney scene is closely tied into the political establishment or is involved in the factional fighting that happens sometimes. We have a great attorney, for example, in the person of Margaret Marr. In terms of her principled commitment to the downtown ordinances, her support for militant and strengthened police review, her interest in the rights of homeless people generally, but because of her hostility to me personally, or perhaps politically, it's not too clear, it's kind of a mixture of the two, she does not associate with and tends to sabotage anything that I'm involved in terms of seeking political assistance. Hence Linda Edwards, who died last year and was arrested under the downtown ordinances the year before, was told that she could not be taken, her case would not be taken not only by Margaret Marr, but also by her colleague, Isabel Gilman, who at that time was the head of the ACLU, which had been, I presume, given money to by the national or the state chapter of the ACLU to fight these anti-homeless sitting laws, mainly because Margaret Marr did not want to have me involved in any way, shape, or form, even as a witness in those proceedings. And I've been fighting that to get some kind of reasonable consideration. I suggested mediation with her. She's refused. And that struggle continues. So it's good to have an out-of-town lawyer who is willing to come in and fight this. So we'll be hearing more about that. I don't think that much is going to happen this week. The attorneys really haven't gotten any indication of what the injunction by the city against the City Hall sleepers is going to be. And the other issue, which perhaps is even more important, of a federal injunction on behalf of all the homeless in Santa Cruz against the sleeping ban in federal court, something that has not been tried locally and has been successful in at least one jurisdiction, Miami, and also I believe in Dallas. I'm not quite sure if the Dallas one is still successful. The court progress of these things is varied, and what the lower court does, the higher court reverses, and then the court above that reverses again, and so forth. So you can't really be sure unless you're really up to date on it, and I'm not up to date on Dallas, but perhaps I will be by the next show. So the Social Services Subcommittee, which normally meets at 8:15 a.m., was going to meet actually tomorrow on Tuesday the 21st, is now meeting on the 28th at 8:15 a.m. What that means is that the Citizens Committee for the Homeless has not got its duckies in order. They actually came up with what I described last show as a pathetic column of figures that literally did not add up. I mean, the council members were embarrassed, the Citizens Committee were embarrassed, the audience was smirking. It was really a sad moment. And not only that, the new director of the Citizens Committee's Community House Project, Frank, does not seem to be too clear about what the costs are. He doesn't seem to be clear at all about any of this stuff. Nor was Daryl Darling, who was present in the room, terribly informative on that subject. So we don't really know what's going on, except that $150,000 in loan money is being thrown at the Citizens Committee again by council. They did that a week or two ago. But now the Citizens Committee apparently wants that as grant money, or at least that's how it showed up in the tally of their figures. So it's not clear what they're doing, what's going on. It looks bogus, and I really encourage people to get to that meeting on the 28th, Tuesday at 8:15 a.m. That's going to be the same day as the normal City Council meeting, which is held at 3:30 and 7 o'clock on every second and fourth Tuesday. And if you miss those City Council meetings, I remind you, you can check out the tapes in the library, which usually appear about a week later. And there are tape recorders there that you can borrow to hear this material. You can also make copies of the material yourself, which is cheaper than going to the city clerk and paying $5 for a copy. By the way, hats off to the city clerk's office for their cooperation in helping make better recordings at City Council. They now have provided me with equipment to actually plug in to the talk box so I can actually get City Council dialogue and discussion directly off the amplification system. That's the one thing that Scott Kennedy came to me with as a peace offering before he denounced me again several minutes later at the Social Services Subcommittee. He informed me that I could do that if I wanted after thanking me for a letter I sent him, praising him for his reasonable, positive response to the drumming situation, in which he proposed that the drumming question be sent to the drummers and the residents and the folks who are having the problems to work out if they could, rather than made the subject of yet another restrictive law. Whether that is going to work out, we don't know, but We hope so, and also it's been suggested that skateboarders can do the same thing, and it would be nice if the downtown ordinances were dumped, and that homeless people and folks on the street were able to do the same thing with merchants, and that's what I'm continue to hope for.
They don't know me anymore. I stand alone, just like before. My body's gone, my spirit too. The pact I've made, I've kept in full. No compromise, no drinking booze. Dare to struggle, dare to turn your back or turn wide. Lit a spark, but now it's raging. And a battle outside, now it's raging. You heard me, and you hear, and all you know how to get out of here. All you say, the battle outside is raging. Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go!
There is no way out unless you defeat Armageddon Man.
Unless I defeat him, what, you ain't gonna help me?
Nope. I'm disqualified. Made a big mistake.
A mistake? But I thought you were like the goddess of truth.
Not exactly. See, I am the spirit of information. I run general reference at that big library out there.
The main branch?
You have all the power that is mine to give. It's up to you to stop Armageddon Man.
It's the breath of life. They want to smother, so fight for life. The earth, your mother, fight for your sisters and your brothers. If you lose this fight, there won't be another. It's the breath of life.
Listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrobes Pier Robert Norse, and a two-hour Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides recorded show. That was the Mime Troupe, San Francisco Mime Troupe you just listened to. We're going to be playing more selections from Fact Wino versus Armageddon Man, I think. That is, I think that's what it is. Badly labeled tape, I'm not sure. But it's good stuff, whatever it is. Throughout the show, right now we're going to drop back about 2 weeks to May 6th and listen to a couple of interviews. First, interview with someone on the streets.
I'm talking to Aubrey Eubanks. Aubrey, you're a camper and also a reference librarian?
No, I'm not a reference librarian. I'm a library clerk.
You're a library clerk. Let's not confuse things. And you've been sleeping out in New Brighton Beach.
And Henry Cowell.
Henry Cowell. Occasionally with the help. Let's see. I hope we've got a... it's legible. You're a bad boy. So how many people are at these sites at New Bright at Henry Cowell?
We got about 7 at one site, and there's probably about between 7 and 10 at another site.
This is the kind of approach of sharing campsites that was proposed by City Council and so opposed by the state parks. Is it working for you?
Yeah, it is working out fine. We're paid up till the 15th, and then we'll probably go out to New Brighton. Some of the folks there were out at New Brighton, and now they're coming. They're out at Cowell. They'll be going back again because we can only stay for 30 days.
Are any of these the original River Street refugees?
Yes, I believe some of the folks there I recognized from the Back 40 last year.
Well, sounds good. You have a regular job, but you can't afford, of course, indoor accommodations. But since the weather is getting better, are you finding people with plastic or edging you out?
people with plastic?
Well, because of advanced reservations and such.
Well, we've got reservations so far. Someone's been making reservations far enough in advance. On the weekends, it gets busier, and they get more concerned about campsite availability. But during the week, it's pretty quiet. It's really nice. I like it there.
Is Barb Riverwoman involved in this at all?
I contacted her to find out about it, but she's no longer involved with coordinating it.
And Sherry Connable? You don't know Sherry?
I don't know Sherry Connable.
Anything you want to add for if we ever get back on Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Yeah, I think that camping at the state parks is a great idea. It's nice. It's not the same thing as having an actual house to live in, but there are some people who really enjoy it, and it works for them. And I think that there should be sites made available to people who can't afford to pay for them. These ones are pretty cheap since we're sharing, but then people have to be able to live in a communal environment. And some people want to be on their own, so if they can afford it, they get their own site. Why not have one state park available close to town, or a city park, some area close to town that's a little bit more more set up for long-term living than the Back 40 situation was. And a lot of people can take care of themselves and take care of their environment and make it work.
Thank you, Albert.
Well, it's May 7th, May 6th, 1996, and I'm on the phone to a homeless activist and, generally a politically active guy, Sandy Perry. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, how you doing?
All right. You're in San Jose, and you've been working with the Community Homeless Alliance, and before that, I guess it was called the Student Homeless Alliance for a long time.
Right.
Can you kind of give us a little history of all that and how you came to the group and what's been happening with the group and so forth?
Well, I came to the group the first time I was aware of it. I moved to San Jose, I guess, in about 89. I was in Santa Clara County, but I started getting active in San Jose about 89, and I first read about the group in the newspaper, the Alliance, and I think it was 91, when they were just starting to really get active, and then we jumped in, held a bunch of marches, went down, testified at City Hall, got a lot of activity going, and a lot of enthusiasm. And it ended up in a series of, there was a few arrests. So we got arrested in front of City Hall with yourself. I'm sure you'll remember that famous night.
Indeed.
And shortly after that, we had a couple of various types of building takeovers and things like that to publicize the issue of homelessness in San Jose, to publicize the fact that we have a redevelopment agency which finds money for Sharks Arenas and Hilton Hotels and Fairmont Hotels and convention centers and a fairly long list of other items. But when it comes to housing, they don't even have the bare minimum legal requirements. They're supposed to spend 20% on housing, but they can't seem to find that. Or if they do, it's delayed. Certainly they can't find any more than that, even though we know they have plenty more money. Anyway, to make a long story short, we've continued since that time to fight to publicize this issue of housing in San Jose, the need for housing, and the fact that there's no excuse for having homeless people forced to live out in the streets in San Jose or in shelters sleeping on concrete floors. There's no excuse to have police harassing people. There's no excuse for some of these new laws which they're passing in Santa Clara County to have a so-called anti-signing ordinance in the city of Santa Clara.
Making it illegal to hold a sign up by the side of the road?
Right. And also, there's a new proposal in San Jose, which I'm sure you will be familiar with, a new proposal to make it illegal to sit on a sidewalk. Do you know anything about that?
It's the copycat Santa Cruz law, probably, bouncing around from one city to another.
There's a guy named, a city council person named Dave Pandori.
Pandori's box, eh?
Yeah, he's a political ally of former Mayor Tom McHenry, who's attempting to build a, behind the scenes, apparently, he's attempting to build some kind of a new political machine because he feels that the current mayor, Susan Hammer, is too liberal.
And what do you think? Is Susan Hammer too liberal?
I don't think so at all. Susan Hammer, up until the last year or two, has been, you couldn't even distinguish her from Tom McHenry. And the only reason there's any distinction between her and Tom McHenry now is that apparently Tom McHenry has moved a little bit further to the right along with other politicians around the country. Maybe Susan Hammer hasn't moved to the right quite fast enough for him, but certainly Susan Hammer is no liberal.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Clinton Democrat. Does that explain it to you?
A kind of a counterterrorism bill advocate, that sort of thing?
Something like that. Counterterrorism, you know, a friend of immigrants, but let's
get
build on the border. And I can't remember all the provisions. They just passed a new immigration bill.
Oh, yeah.
With a bunch of provisions for new fences, new money for the Border Patrol, all that kind of stuff.
Restrictions on immigration appeals, or,
restrictions on death.
Hang on a second, Sandy. Sorry, what were you saying? There was some other call coming in. Go ahead.
Okay, I can't remember a word of what I was saying.
Oh, well, let's drag it up to the present. You hold a meeting, the Community Homeless Alliance, that is, has a meeting every Saturday at 11 o'clock?
Right, every Saturday at 11 o'clock. It's located at First Christian Church, which is 80 South 5th Street.
And what is the phone number for the Community Homeless Alliance?
I don't have it off the top of my head.
345-2353?
Sounds good, I'm sure. Is that off the top of your
head? That's off the top of my head, yeah.
I could wrestle around in some papers.
No problem. They don't call me back usually anyway, so... But you do. I'm impressed.
We're all one organization, so let's not set the left hand against the right hand.
That's it, indeed.
Or the right hand against the left hand, whichever that.
We'll be strangling each other to death here.
Right.
So what's on the agenda for the Community Homeless Alliance for the next few months?
Okay, currently we're in the middle of a fight with the city on there's a series of units along the Guadalupe Expressway in San Jose, which are in the process, well, are almost in the process of being demolished. 79 units of very low-income housing, duplexes. People have been gradually forced out of there or pushed out of there. There's 20 families left. They're going to be widening the freeway, and so they're getting ready to demolish these houses. Now, when they had this freeway widening contract? Yeah, well, when they had this project, they had environmental impact report.
Mm-hmm.
And that report, they went to great lengths to satisfy the Sierra Club, and every tree which is going to be pulled out in that process is going to be replanted.
Wow.
Every blade of grass is going to be replanted.
But every third person will be plowed under.
And I have nothing against, you know, blades of grass and things like that. I think they should be replanted. Let me add this. In the process of building this new freeway there, they're going to destroy 373 parking spaces.
Mm-hmm.
However, they have what they call mitigation. They're going to build various decks and garages to replace 404 parking spaces. So they'll come up with a net gain of parking spaces.
So they're taking awfully sources.
For these 79 units of housing.
So save the cars, but screw the people.
Sorry. These people don't even get relocation benefits. 80% of them end up with absolutely nothing.
Incredible.
And even in their environmental impact report, it says these people will not be able to find comparable housing in San Jose.
So who are these people? What kind of folks are living in these places?
Just working people, regular people. What else to say about them?
Are they supporting you're engaging in some kind of campaign to...
Yeah, it's sort of a mutual thing between the homeless and them, and actually they've been very open. In fact, they first, before we even came on the scene, we kind of came on the scene when we noticed all these houses being boarded up out there, because as they move people out, they board up the houses.
Mm-hmm.
So being naturally curious, Community Homeless Alliance began knocking on doors in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran across the Neighborhood Association.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to them. In fact, we found out that they had actually approached Caltrans, which is doing this whole project,
mm-hmm.
about putting up homeless families in the houses that were being vacated.
Mm-hmm.
Caltrans declined.
Mm-hmm.
So they were already disposed in favor of us, and despite a few efforts by a few people who I guess probably should remain unnamed at this time,
mm-hmm.
We've been able to get our groups to work together quite well. There's a few people in San Jose who tend to say bad things about community homeless lines.
And why do they do that?
Well, we're politically unpopular. We tend to ruffle feathers, particularly for redevelopment agency, which is a center of power. And so there are people who, for whatever reason, feel that they have something to gain by pleasing the redevelopment agency sometimes. Mm-hmm. Say bad things about it.
So give me a thumbnail history of the Community Homeless Alliance's accomplishments in the last 5 years.
Well, it's been mostly an uphill battle, frankly. I mean, we've I don't know if I can remember all the things now. We did get out of the original housing takeovers we did in 92, we did get housing for about a half dozen people in one of the houses that we took over. They were able to stay there paying rent for $1 a year. They had to pay a little extra for utilities and some other expenses, but essentially it was an extremely cheap rent. And that lasted for about 2 or 3 years. That was supposed to be a very temporary project because the houses were going to be torn down due to flood control. However, that flood control project is still on hold even to this day, and apparently Clinton has delayed it another 4 years. Unfortunately, all the houses were totally flooded out during the great floods of 95 in San Jose, so right now they're not livable.
The kind of houseboats.
The ones that were there along the river, appropriately named River Street.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so, but that was one of our successes. Another success was in combining with other community groups, we were able to defeat an ordinance which they attempted to push through, which would have required anybody engaged in civil disobedience to pay police overtime costs, et cetera, et cetera.
I remember Linda Edwards spoke against that ordinance, perhaps.
Yes, she did. She was arrested. Yeah.
And she's an activist who died last summer here in Santa Cruz of liver cancer. And we, our mayor proclaimed December 13th Linda Edwards Day. That was the day she was first arrested for serving free food. Actually, the first person arrested that I've ever heard of in any city. I imagine it's happened before, but certainly in recent history. And
since the days of the IWW, anyway.
Well, and certainly in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
So, I recall that was a...
That was back in 93, I think. That was another victory.
And this was a
help from the Santa Cruz people.
This was pushed by liberals who wanted to stop anti-choice people from doing demonstrations.
Well, that was the so-called reason why it was done, and I'm not any great friend of anti-choice people by any means, but the impact would have been, I mean, after we'd been through 92, personally, at the time they were proposing that, I'd been arrested 3 times within the last year, I believe. I personally felt that it was targeted against people like me rather than against these.
What were you arrested for at that period of time? What kind of demonstrations?
And stuff like that. I was with you one time at City Hall. I was arrested another time at City Hall for refusing to leave during a demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
That had to do with police review board. And then we had a famous so-called riot that never took place in San Jose in 1993, which I was involved in. Actually, it was a demonstration organized by Direct Action Alliance.
Which is a defunct organization now?
It's defunct.
But that supported strong police review?
Yeah, and it was protesting the second Rodney King verdict. In other words, protesting that it wasn't stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, we did a little bit of marching in the streets, which I suppose is technically a violation.
Mm-hmm.
We blocked a little traffic. And so we were surrounded and accused of rioting and numerous other charges. Some of us, not me, but some of the others had some fairly serious felony charges. And it was as it went down toward the case, they ultimately ended up being mostly dropped or bargained away to fairly minor charges. But the police videotaped the entire demonstration, and the police had kind of a hard time explaining why all these violent acts, which they wrote about in their police report, were never caught on video. So finally they came up with the explanation that every time violence was about ready to break out, the officers holding the video camera felt obliged to run to the sides of their comrades, and so they had to drop the video. Therefore, all the serious violence was never on the video camera.
Wow.
We found that suspicious.
I see. Well, obviously you would, because you're violently suspicious, or possibly...
There was no violence then.
Mm-hmm.
Or virtually none. None that I personally saw.
So, since 93, we've been through 94 and 95, have you the Community Homeless Alliance and possibly direct action. Have been further demonstrations to secure the rights of people in terms of police review or in terms of housing rights?
Outside, we had a long 50-day sleep out. And what that did, that got a couple of, that sort of lit a fire under a couple of projects that that we were trying to get pushed through the housing department. One is an SRO project out on, that's supposedly going to be built on Bird Avenue here in San Jose, not too far from where it is. And another was a smaller project. We were trying to get one of them built, but apparently they weren't able to get that one. And another one was, which was on Fifth Street, only a half a block from the church where Community Homeless Alliance meets. They got a small, I think it's a 14-unit, old Victorian-type building that's going to be remodeled and used for housing for the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the results which came out of the sweep out in 95, which were fairly positive.
And you're planning, in fact, we have our own, I guess it's now a 68-day-long sleep out in front of City Hall here in Santa Cruz, protesting the city's anti-homeless sleeping ban and the criminalization of the homeless after dark, I should say after 11 o'clock at night here. In San Jose, do you have similar laws that make it illegal for people to be asleep in their vehicles or on the streets?
Yeah, it's not as famous or as all-inclusive as the anti-camping ban in Santa Cruz, but if you want to get practical about it, there isn't any place that you can sleep outside. And enforcement is really mixed, though. It goes up and down. It all depends. Because there's, I know people who've been camping in it. Once in a while, okay, here's what they have in San Jose. No, you can't sleep in the park. All the parks are posted, closed 1 hour after sunset. And sometimes that's very rigorously enforced.
You notice me, we close our parks at sunset.
Okay, yeah. Okay, we've got an extra hour. No sleeping in a vehicle. City street.
Anytime or only after dark?
Anytime. The areas along the riverbeds, which historically for years people, homeless people have slept, in 1990 they were closed.
By law or by policy? Or?
By policy. The city did it. So-called river cleanup, downtown cleanup, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with they're trying to upgrade the image of the downtown.
Gentrification.
Yeah. So they swept the rivers. You remember this. This was in 1990. But we came to Santa Cruz and talked about that at the 4th of July of 1990.
Huh, okay.
Remember that.
Vaguely.
In fact, Scott Wagers was there from Community Homeless Alliance, but that's before I even met him.
Mm-hmm.
I met him a year later.
In fact, you were working with People's Tribune before Community Homeless Alliance?
Right, yeah.
People's Tribune is a weekly Marxist newspaper published out of Chicago?
Well, it's a revolutionary newspaper. It's abandoned the Marxism and basically opened its pages to all ideological trends.
And how can people get in touch with this newspaper if they want to, for example, give news stories or get in touch somehow with what's going on?
Well, I've got a national address, which is P.O. Box 3524, Chicago, Illinois, 60654. For local stuff, people can get in touch with me in the South Bay. Personally, my number is 408-995-5302.
995-5302, area code 408 in San Jose. And that is if they have stories they wish to report. Is there a... do you have an email address?
I don't have one. I'd have to go shuffle through some papers. There's one back east.
Because I know People's Tribune did cover Linda Edwards, the Santa Cruz activist who fought the sleeping ban for so long, and has also covered some of the food trials, of which, you know, my case is still pending. On May 16th, I go to court to get either a final sentence modification or a special boot in the jail for 2 months. And I think People's Tribune has been, you know, I think you have a stringer here, Tom Schreiner, also does occasionally, you know, stories for People's Tribune. Linda LeMaster, I think, has done some stuff. National media, I think, is really important in linking up groups in different cities who are fighting, of course, the same struggle. And apropos of that, I wanted to let you know we have some Santa Barbara activists coming up to Santa Cruz on Saturday, May 12th. I guess no, it's May 11th. And hanging out for a few days, and they are the same people. Their names are Protest Bob Hansen and Cobblestone Colin Atherton. They were involved in the walk across the country in 1988 from Santa Barbara, which lasted 9.5 months. And Santa Barbara, of course, is notorious as the town where Mitch Snyder, a neighborhood homeless activist in 1986, defeated a sleeping ban. And there was quite a strong organization of homeless groups at that time. And they're talking about organizing a second march. This time, I was going to suggest it go through San Jose and Mountain View and Santa Clara, all the towns that are passing their anti-homeless laws, and then end up at Willie Brown's office in San Francisco and ask this
slick politician to really enforce his new February 22nd policy of allegedly no arrests for sleeping and no more matrix arrests, which he has stated, but his police department is not enforcing. And in fact, his administration is pressing for continued legal appeal of the Joyce case, which was a bad decision by a federal judge that upheld the Matrix anti-homeless laws. And the city attorney has an opportunity to say, forget it, we're not going to even pursue this case anymore, but his people are. So anyway, the idea of a march, you think that this could get some support among the Community Homeless Alliance and other groups like Standard Housing Action Coalition, which we also visited last week? And
okay, I haven't been in touch with Shaq. Lately, are they fairly active right now?
Well, all I know is that they had this kind of big shindig on Stanford campus last Thursday or Wednesday, and they just very eloquent speeches. They burned candles. They had a guy who had done his thesis on the Atlanta, Georgia anti-homeless policies and laws that have now been put into place for the Olympic Village thing. Comparing them with attempts in Palo Alto to pass a new panhandling ordinance, which has so far been successfully blocked, strangely enough, by homeless people. They can apparently block laws in Palo Alto, but here in Santa Cruz, where we have seemingly more active activists, we get the vicious downtown ordinances making it illegal to sit down, which your city is now apparently emulating. So I guess they're still active. They're publishing a newsletter that's coming out every month. I got their February, March, and April issues. In fact, maybe I can get you some of their numbers and contact people.
Yeah, I know there was a guy called me up because he has this on-air or something at KKUP.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting by the phone trying to get through there, listening to you talking about the...
the urban campers hour.
The camp in Santa Cruz. That was, I think, in December when they were shutting down the one behind Riverside.
Oh, right, yeah.
And,
the last homeless campground in the country that I was aware of, actually.
Yeah, and trying to get through, but you and somebody else were on the line. I couldn't get through.
Oh, well, you see.
Some guy, I can't remember his name. What's his name?
Perusha. He does a show.
Anyway, it was...
A couple of guys. Lee Alton.
Yeah, Lee Alton.
That's the one.
Kept calling me, and so he called me, but I guess I didn't make the right arrangements ahead of time.
Well, they do it every month. You might want to get in touch with them again.
Yeah.
Call KKUP and ask what can be done there. So,
But there is something else going on in San Jose which is important,
mm-hmm.
and that is, I don't know if you've... Well, first, before I get off of homeless, I did get a big article published in the Mercury News yesterday, which hopefully will have some kind of impact.
Oh, really? So it was in today's?
This Pandori thing, and...
A letter, you mean?
Well, it's an editorial. You know, I don't know if you get it over there?
We get the Mercury News, we get the Santa Cruz edition.
Yeah, they might have it in the main edition from yesterday, because they had a big article on basically anti-panhandling.
Oh, really? I'll have to go look at it.
And they had their Mercury News editorial, which was kind of... wishy-washy,
mm-hmm.
and they had my editorial to speak.
This is the May 5th issue of the Mercury News.
Yesterday, Sunday paper.
I see.
Yes, but I got in a pretty good thing. I got in a good pitch for, well, you know, I pointed out how these laws are repressive and they don't accomplish anything, and also that they don't deal with the root causes of homelessness. I'm getting a good pitch for redistributing the wealth and
mm-hmm.
some other pet projects of mine.
Mm-hmm. You communist dog, you.
Which you just won't read anywhere else in the Mercury News.
Alright, well, hey, I'll check it out. I guess my arguments against panhandling have always been, although Los Angeles has a great 10 points for panhandlers, which I should send up to you, but the major point is that panhandling is already covered if your abusive behavior by someone is applicable, you know, other laws are applicable, but the attempt to eliminate people who, just because they don't look like what the merchants want to have downtown is class-based legislation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Violation of the First Amendment.
But something which possibly even more important is going on in San Jose. You might have heard on March 2nd, there was a guy who was shot in the back of the head by a sheriff's deputy.
His name was?
Gustavo Soto Mesa.
And the murderer was?
Tom Langley.
Mm-hmm.
He was 33 years old, had three kids.
Mm-hmm.
He was suspected of being drunk.
Ah.
Crashed a van, started to run away, and was shot down.
Mm-hmm.
The deputy later claimed it was an accident. However, apparently there's witnesses that said, the deputy said, stop or I'll shoot, and was running after him with a gun drawn, even though Gustavo was completely unarmed,
mm-hmm.
and actually was surrounded by other police cars, so there was no place he could even get away to.
Mm-hmm.
So
he was executed, in other words.
Right. So what? There's been a series of marches that have taken place.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a hearing on the 31st before the Human Relations Commission of the County of Santa Clara.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently we're going to have, well, a couple of things. Also, apparently we met with the DA. And supposedly, for the first time, according to the DA, for the first time in the state of California, he is going to push for an open grand jury hearing to investigate this case.
Wow. I said, wow, is that an attempt to see you guys just running around somewhere?
I think it's, well, it looks good to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, every other case that's taken place in San Jose for the last 20 years that we know of, it's gone to a secret grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets to see the transcripts, nobody gets to see the evidence, and nothing has ever come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
With the press there, and the media there, and ourselves there, we feel we've got to, I mean, it's much more difficult for them to do that kind of cover-up.
What organizations are pressing for action around this?
Well, the main organization is newly formed because of this case. It's called the Human Rights Defense Committee.
Mm-hmm. Phone number?
It's 408-271-9157.
Mm-hmm. 408-271-9157.
And you're listening to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, the Mickey Mouse and Goofy edition. We're all here high on nitrous oxide, but that's okay. No, just kidding about that, folks. Unfortunately, sometimes my tape recorder batteries tend to run down, and I don't always catch it in time. So I hope that you're able to pick some pieces of information out of that interview with activist Sandy Perry of the Community Homeless Alliance in San Jose. It's so rarely that we get to talk to San Jose. They're hard folks to contact. And we're really lucky in having Sandy on the line, even in a very fast up kind of voice like that. So I hope that we're able to broaden our perspective. After all, someone with a high, squeaky voice isn't necessarily any less newsworthy or worthy of being listened to than someone with a deep voice like my own. Here's some really fine voices from the Mime Troupe.
The Nihilists. On my left, a man in the band I would call the saxophone player. Only been playing saxophone for 3 weeks. Isn't that amazing? And on my right, on a wood release program from San Bruno County Jail, on left with Skin Johnson, the one, the only, Shocking Cut. These fearful times make willing slaves. Who seek their freedom in their chains. Reagan's election was no surprise. You voted for Nixon twice, why? Because you're stupid! Blame it on the black folks, blame it on the Jews, blame it on anybody not like you. You can blame it on the red, blame it on the green, but you name it on the blank, on the man on the screen. You must be stupid, you must be stupid. Oh yeah, all right, you're stupid. Into swords. Live your life the Christian way. Send them money and you'll be saved. Why? Because you're stupid! Blame it on the black folks. Blame it on the Jews. Blame it on anybody not like you. You can blame it on the red. Blame it on the green. But your name is on the blame.
Well, you switch now to the Santa Cruz Hall of Justice on May 7th. Here's a brief interview with a camping ban violator.
QZ, the cantankerous camper and the man in the chef's hat. Hi, QZ.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. What happened this morning?
Yeah, I was at the Garfield Park Circle. I was right. Parked around the circle, and the police came to tell me it was, you know, illegal to camp there.
Right.
But
what time did they come and tell you that?
It was about 9 o'clock.
So it wasn't illegal, actually, because at 9 o'clock it's legal to be in your vehicle whether you're asleep or not.
Oh, it is. I didn't know that. But, anyways, there were other vans parked around the circle. There was like five other vans with camper tops. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a camper top. It's just a very small van.
Right.
And I was the only person that this cop told me to get out.
You recall the name of the officer?
Well, I don't know his name, but I know what he looks like. It was the second encounter that I had there with him.
All right. Well, what we should do is, when this is over, or sooner, perhaps, go down to the Citizens Police Review Board and, as they say, file a complaint of selective enforcement, or selective harassment is really what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you, in fact, aware, though, that he did not tell these other vans, perhaps before he came to your van, that they shouldn't be there?
Well, they were still there when I left.
Did you see him approach any of the other vans?
No, I didn't.
Did you see him leave?
Yes, he left right after he
said. Did you see him pull up?
No, I didn't see him pull up.
So is it possible he could have gone to all these other vans before you he came to yours?
Well, I was out before the other vans were. It seems to me like they would have been out before I would be. So.
Now, I had heard...
And they're still probably there.
I had heard, incidentally, well, you can always go and ask them, have the police warned you not to be here? And that would be interesting. It would be evidence in favor of your claim that the police are selectively singling you out. I had heard the Garfield Park Church specifically told people sleeping in vehicles, or more than that, people sleeping outside, whom they previously allowed to sleep on the park on the church property, that they could no longer do that. Is that true?
That's true. Yeah, we can't do that anymore.
And do you have any insight as to why that's the case?
I heard some rumors that there were two couples that were creating something that the neighbors didn't like.
Are we talking sexual behavior or loud and obnoxious behavior?
I'm not sure. Probably mostly loud, obnoxious type.
Okay.
Going back to that, I don't think the entire program should be shut down because of somebody, that the neighbors don't like. Just one couple, you know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe what you can do, if you're interested, is to approach the police department on behalf of HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and tell them you're looking for statistics as to how many complaints were filed against Garfield Park Church around the camping issue.
Right.
See if they're willing to discuss that. You can give my phone number as a phone reference, 423-HUF, if you want. Anything else, QZ?
I think it's good what you're doing. I didn't think we had any kind of leverage, but I guess we do have some.
If enough people start getting these tickets and start working together, or even along parallel paths, yes, I would agree.
As of right now, I don't think there is a satellite program in existence, because
there is a satellite program, but not so much a drop-in satellite program. I believe it's sort of a sign-up, right, long-term satellite program, and it's been scaled down to 26, 28.
Yes, but there's supposed to be a where vans can park at church parking lots, and that doesn't exist.
Can you investigate that? Perhaps you could call Paul Marceau or talk to, I guess Marceau's gone, the new director of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, and ask her or him what gives with the van situation. I mean, the obvious way to do that is to drive over to, the Homeless Community Resource Center, walk up to the ISSP HQ or Garfield Park, wherever their HQ is, right, and say, hi, I'm in a van, I want to be part of the church program. And just ask what the story is.
Right, that's good, yeah.
Okay. But maybe you can report back to us on that.
Yeah, okay, I could probably try to do that.
I had seen
Ms. Brazda speaking.
Father Marceau quoted in the May 1 groundbreaking ceremony for Community House, the project which was supposed to have been completed by between May 1 and June 1 recently. I'd seen him quoted. I know it's rumored he's leaving.
Yeah, I think his term has ended and there's some new director, because I believe currently the head of the program, or there's no new director, but the acting director is Ron Howard, who's the operations manager. He spoke to me on the street some days ago. I'm not entirely clear as to where the chain of command is here. Well, Chris, you were present May 1st at the groundbreaking of Community House, which is the Trailers Not Trolls project, as I call it, that houses 20 to 40, if they ever get the trailers up, if they ever get the funding to get the trailers up and the sewage lines in. Currently located on a fenced-off field that had been the location of the only legal place for homeless people to sleep and the only legal campground in the country that I'm aware of, housed 200 to 300 at its height, was improperly closed down in violation of a contract of campers made November 29th, which would have allowed them to stay throughout the winter. What What was that groundbreaking all about, and what are your thoughts on that?
I wasn't there, but I had seen Marceau quoted as saying the costs of construction were now $250,000. Daryl Darling originally written costs were $622,000, and he said as early as November last year that he could do it for $129,000 cash. So those cost estimates are a magnitude 5 difference, almost a magnitude 2 difference between what Marceau is estimating it is saying it would cost in the paper, I believe, set May 1.
Well, thank you, Chris. I'm going to hustle into the court because I'm afraid they've already
called me. I also heard from Dwight, who was on staff there for a long time, Assistance Committee, that Marceau was pressing the Assistance Committee to find a campground, and that he was removed for that reason, or quit in frustration over not being able to prevail on them that they needed a little acre somewhere.
That's a little guilt, since Marceau was the man who violated the commitment to the campers that he had made to keep the campground open over the winter.
15 to 10, outside City Hall. It's May 7th, it's the 6th. Returning from endless travels is
Scott.
And Scott, you were here at the very beginning of the sleep out 2 months ago.
Yeah, I sure was.
And how long did you stay here?
About a week or so.
And did you get any tickets while you were here?
Actually, yeah, I got one.
So there's some floating warrants waiting to eat you up, eh?
Yeah.
So does this mean you'll probably be avoiding the sleep out tonight, or?
Yeah, I'm staying away from it right now. I find I got 2 warrants, so.
For camping, or?
Well, I got one for camping and one for other shit, so I just kind of came along to see what was going on.
So and were you at the Eli Weisel talk across the street at the Civic Auditorium?
Actually, no, I wasn't.
But you've been traveling. You've been to Santa Barbara. What other cities have you been through?
Santa Barbara, San Diego, Yuma, Arizona.
And have you noticed, what have you noticed in your travels?
Well, we're a lot better off than Santa Barbara is, I know that much.
Why do you say that?
Well, they're infested with homeless people.
I see.